This is Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast interview is with Mary Lyford and Kim Hedrick. Mary is our lower school principal, and Kim is our lower school guidance counselor, and they're going to talk about just the excitement of this new school year, some of our new staff, and some things to look forward to. So we join the podcast now with Mary Lyford, Kim Hedrick, and your host, Kendall Terry. We'd like to welcome to the podcast today Mary Lyford and Kim Hedrick. And so if you've been listening for a while, you know both of these voices, and if you've been on our campus, you know both of them personally, as they are at most of our events on campus, especially if it's a lower school event. So Mary is our lower school principal and has been with CBA since halfway through year one. And Kim is the lower school guidance counselor and has been with CBA since when, Kim?
This is my ninth year, actually.
Ninth year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was early on. Some of those early years, it all blurs together of when people showed up and what positions they were in, and we've moved people around and everything else. But you've held as the lower school counselor.
Yes.
So, and you've held as the lower school principal. So, I mean, I don't know, good or bad. You guys,
We've learned a lot.
That's
yes,
right.
We have.
I consider it a good thing. I think you guys do an excellent job.
Really good.
And so, first, welcome. Thank you for sitting down.
Thank you.
And I wanted to give them just a chance to talk about a new school year as we're entering 24-25, which sounds crazy when you think about 2024 and 2025 school year. But it's year 12 for the school, as far as this is our 12th school year. And we've had, you know, several changes that have taken place as we've gone through 12 years. And so looking at what this is going to be for the school and new staff and all of that excitement that comes by opening a new school year. So I wanted to give you guys a chance just to kind of talk about that and to talk about what you're looking forward to this school year and some of the new staff members that you've brought on. And I know some people might look and say a lot of hiring. I don't know that I would consider it a lot of hiring, but you did do some hiring.
We had to replace
some positions, and you've done a great job on finding some really outstanding candidates. And
really
so being able to mention them a little bit and give a little bit of background on that. So why don't we just start with that with Mary, and we'll go from there.
All right. So you want to start with the new faculty?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm always excited to talk about new faculty with us. We do have, I feel like, a lot of new faces, some expected and some unexpected. In our kindergarten, we knew that Miss Reidner was going to be leaving us, and we're wishing her all the best. She's a wonderful teacher. But we inherited or hired Christina Zimmerman. She comes to us from a private school in Nashville. She has 14 years of experience teaching kindergarten. She holds a master's degree in education of reading and is certified in literacy and the gifted and talented education program.
Oh, wow.
So Christina has a lot to offer us in our kindergarten. We're getting ready to start our check-in meetings, and I'm excited to sit down and talk to her, get to know her a lot better. In our first grade, we have Leslie Addis. She was our last one hired, I believe, at this summer.
I think so.
Yes, and she came from Oak Ridge, and I think she has about 20, almost 25 years experience teaching.
Yeah.
She has a Bachelor of Science degree and a Master's degree and an Educational Specialist degree.
Yeah.
So well educated in the field of education. She has experience teaching first grade, so she's going to be teaching in our first and second grade looping program. And she's done a lot with the reading intervention for children, for helping them with reading challenges. So that is going to be right what we are excited about in our first grade, as they learn so much about the foundation of reading skills. Can't wait to see what all Leslie will be doing with our first and second graders. And then, unexpectedly, we have our Chelsea Fink joined us in fifth grade when Mr. Starkey took the athletic director's position.
Yeah.
You know, nothing happens on a plan.
That's right.
So Nick was right in his alley with the educational field of sports. And then Chelsea, when she was with us last year in our preschool, fell in love with our preschool and really wanted to be in preschool. But we knew when I hired her or recommended her for hire, that she had the background in fifth grade, and Nick always loved that sports field. And so if that happened, then it worked out. So Chelsea has a bachelor's of science degree and has taught fifth grade in a private school in Arizona. So she's excited. She changed her mindset real quick from pre-K to fifth grade, and I'm excited to meet with her also. So those are in our core classes in the lower school. But then we have new faces in our related arts, and we share these teachers. And so Logan Thompson, he has joined us with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in health and physical education. He will be teaching our PE and wellness classes with our lower school and middle school, and has experience teaching PE and wellness in a private school in Knoxville, I believe it was. So we're excited to get to know Logan. We've kind of broken him a little bit. He got to spend some time with Coach Counts. We miss Coach Counts. The kids I know love him, and he's doing what he loves, gymnastics. And then Mr. Gabe Bailey is a graduate of Maryville College, and he holds a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Musical Education. And he will be working with our lower school students, middle school, and high school in the music department. I did not get to help with the interview with Mr. Bailey, but I just happened to walk into his classroom the other day, the very first day he was with my fifth graders. And he was sharing slides about him and his wife and some of the experiences, kind of building those relationships and getting to know the kids and them getting to know him. I was so glad I dropped in, because I learned so much about him just watching the slides and him talking about him and his wife. And so he was talking, he's done some mission trips and done some safaris in Kenya and been to Scotland and had all these photos and has a music group himself, a professional group. And I was just so impressed. I thought, I can't wait to get to know Mr. Bailey a bit better. And the last one with us is in our Spanish, Jessica Conley. She taught in a private school in Knoxville for, I think, 15 years. She has a bachelor's degree in multi-age K-12 Spanish education and has been a presenter in national conferences. And so she has done a great job just fitting in right off the bat. We knew that Miranda was going to do international education eventually. We didn't know it was going to be that soon. But Jessica has really joined us and just jumped right in. And we're excited to welcome all these new faculties to the lower school, plus how we share them in the middle school and high school. So that was a lot, it sounds like, but I can't wait for you to get to know them.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about when you were talking about Logan, if you come on campus and go in the gym, you won't miss Logan.
No.
Especially with all of the elementary kids he's working with, because I don't know his exact height. He's got to be about 6'4".
I know, I have to look up to him. Every time I talk to him, my head's
he's
up.
A big presence.
Yes.
And does a great job, and the kids love him from
I've heard of
them interacting with him. And it's exciting just to see all of these new teachers. And of course, we had a couple at the upper school too, but just seeing them come on campus the last couple of weeks, seeing them find their groove and building those relationships. And I know, you know, my youngest was a little nervous about the music teacher, you know, being different. You know, she had really only experienced one kind of music teacher here. And then it was a guy, you know, so that was a whole thing in her head, you know, of like, this is different. And, but then, you know, once she had class, was excited and talking about all the fun things that they had done and the things that, you know, he had shared with them as well. And so it's really fun to hear the students talk about these new teachers and how they're coming into our model and fitting into the relationship side. And you know, sometimes people just assume that when we're hiring, that we're hiring people right out of college or whatever, and that's not the case. You know, you went through several there that have had years of experience in both private and public education. And we try to cast a wide net when we're searching of like, where can we find the right candidate that, you know, will impact our kids in a positive way. And I think you've done a great job. And of course, at preschool, you kind of mentioned it with Chelsea. We had to move her. She was going to be preschool. We had to move her into fifth grade. And we've picked back up with Sarah Ryan. I know, you know, she was an intern for us last year, agreed to be an interim again this year in preschool. And so we know that Sarah's going to step right in there and continue to do the great things that she did last year with that class. And so that was exciting that we were able to make that that made that transition, I know, a lot easier.
Smooth, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it wasn't like we were bringing somebody that didn't know our model or whatever into that classroom. This was a person that had been, she's been with us for actually for several years.
Yes, she's got a lot of experience.
And she served a couple different roles here.
She has.
And so, you know, she's, you know, finding her way and being able to step back into that intern position, I think that's a great opportunity for Sarah.
Yes.
So, Kim, let's switch over to you. So, as a lower school counselor, you know, when many people think about lower school counselor, they think about you working with the kids. Mm-hmm. And we were just actually talking to new families last week. We had over, well, right at about 90 new students added to CBA this year. Mm-hmm. And so, I know that takes some of your time of acclimating to new students. Of course, we've got, you know, that big kindergarten class where kids are learning to be in school. That's always exciting, right?
Yes.
But then in every grade level, we've added a lot of kids. And so trying to even interact with new students, but, you know, students that have been here and try to acclimate them to new students, teaching them that life skill of friendship, that life skill of caring to welcome new people. Mm-hmm. But you also work with our teachers on stuff like our restorative practice model, on helping them get acclimated to CBA and using the things that we use to grade and stuff like that too comes under the counselor's kind of purview at times. And I know you share some of those roles with the curriculum specialists and that sort of thing. So just for people that are listening, when we're talking about new teachers specifically, what are some of those things that you try to do as a lower school counselor in the lower school to help those teachers, be it a core classroom or even the related arts? What kind of interaction is that with you?
So I was able to be a part of the New Teacher Academy that we had, and that was a great opportunity for us just to have that smaller group. So it was just the new to CBA teachers, and it was very well organized and planned so that It's things like important things like, you know, what do you wear the first day of school? What color do you wear? Do you wear the spirit t-shirt? So things like that. But then also things like, of course, relationship building. That's a big focus of new teacher training because that's a big part of who we are. So I would say that was the biggest focus is the importance of relationship building. And that's started those days of training because we're getting to know each other, we're building relationships with each other. Our curriculum specialist took the lead in that, but it was just a great opportunity for us in a smaller setting to get to know each other. And then we did a little bit of training as far as just some general information about things like restorative practices and grading, but it's an ongoing thing with their mentors. We connect them with the mentors, and so that they know if they have a question, and that asking questions is wonderful, you know, the people that they can go to get those questions answered. So I think that was very important. And then our, you know, our teachers are really good. They remember what that was like. They remember being the new teacher. And so just the different layers of support that we have in place for our new teachers.
And then this year you get to also be a mentor because we've got an upper school counselor that's new to CBA this year. And that's one of the things you also do is work with that counselor on acclimating to CBA in that role as well.
Yes, yes. And I've enjoyed getting to know Lauren White very much. I'm her mentor. But like you were saying about our other new staff members, she's not just out of college. She comes to us with experience and valuable experience, you know. So we're able to meet and I can help her with our model of teaching and how we do things here at CBA. She's coming with great ideas. So I'm really excited about working with her this year and getting to know her better.
It was great doing the interview. I got to sit in on some of those with Sarah Farmer, our principal at the upper school, and getting to interact with Lauren. I think she'll be a great asset to the upper school.
I do too.
Mary, when you're looking at a new school year, when you're thinking about that as the principal and you're thinking about, you know, some of those new in-service you know, spots that you interact with teachers. But just as you think about this new school year as a whole, what are things that you're looking forward to? What are things that you're excited about with your staff to say this year, you know, this is coming up, or we're going to do this a particular way that kind of gets that, like, I'm excited for 24-25 school year to start?
You know, I was thinking about that. I have always been the type that, kind of like the kids, I can't sleep the night before school starts. It's like I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I still get excited. I always tell my teachers that when I lose the excitement and the energy for this, it's time for me to go home. And I haven't. I love the new day. I've always said teaching, the experience itself, is just a new day every day. Yeah. You know, you don't just sit behind a desk. You don't sit in front of a screen.
Right.
You get to interact with live beings with so many different personalities. And one of the things that I love and get my energy from is going into the classrooms. And I tell the teachers, I was like, please invite me to read a book, or just come in when you have projects and things like that. So that's something I did. I got almost to all the classes. I have them all scheduled. So I got to go in and just kind of, I'm trying to learn new names. You said we have 90. I think I have 80 just in the lower school, new students. Almost 80 new students.
Yeah.
I think we're almost to 270 in the lower school this year. Mm-hmm. So we're getting close. We have a shadow visit today. So I am always trying to learn their names, and that is challenging. And when we come in the mornings, I'm out there and I'm like, oh, tell me what it starts with. So, but I did go into the classrooms, and one of the books I love to read is called The Brand New Kid. And it's about a little boy that's a little different, looks a little different, sounds a little different. And so I compared his school to CBA, and we talked about the main characters, and we talked about, let's look and see if we hear any life skills in this story.
Yeah.
And the class in this story are not really receptive of this new student, and they're not kind to him, and they don't show him caring. And so, except for one little girl, and I told the class, I said, I hope you're the Ellie in this story, in this class. And we talk about the 5 lifelong guidelines that we emphasize and teach and model. And we talked about the 19 life skills. And so at the end, after we get through the story, Ellie turns out to be that caring student.
Oh.
And so the kids, they're just glued to the story, and it helps me get to know the new ones, but it also helps the others learn who we are at CBA. And I tell them that this is our foundation here. And so I get excited teaching about that to them, and then helping our teachers that are new on staff learn this is our foundation. We want our teachers showing caring and kindness and just being trustworthy and truthful. And so that's some of the ways, like Kim said, mm-hmm. you know, building relationships with my faculty. I get excited having check-in meetings with them, just hearing how their day's going, how their home visits went. Some of them got hired at the last minute and they did class visits, and just trying to meet them and just where they're at. So there's a lot that we have going on this year that we're going to be having many different events to invite families to be a part of the community here. So,
and one is coming up really soon, August the 2nd, depending on when you're listening to this. So August the 2nd, is that correct?
Yes, Friday.
Ice cream, watermelon social, right after school. And there's going to be a lower school one and an upper school one. So, you know, if you're a family that has both, then you get to experience double the social.
Eat a little here and go down.
That's right. Yeah, you can look healthy at one and only eat watermelon, and then at the other eat all the ice cream. Or have a little bit of ice cream at both. You know, that's also a good way to end a week. And so we're excited to see those families, because new families, you know, bring a lot of energy and stuff to those events as well. A lot of new excitement that comes with that.
Well, and they don't live in the same community as a neighborhood at our schools. So coming to the social events helps them make a connection with who their children are, saying, oh, this is my best friend, or or here's somebody I met. And so it gives them an opportunity to kind of, like you said, build that community here. And then they branch out and have those, you know, play dates and parties and celebrations together then. So that's just one way to open up our doors and have the parents come here. So I'm excited about that, and we're going to have it this week, so it'll be a great time.
And then following shortly on the heels of that is Grandparents' Day. And so, you know, it comes at the end of August, grandparents, special friends. And so that's also another day that a lot of excitement comes on campus as those grandparents get to go around and see those kids' classes and what they're learning. And by then, kids will have already a lot of things to show, and they love showing off to their grandparents.
They
all of the stuff that makes CBA special.
It really is for the little ones, because that is on August. I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget.
30th,
August the 30th, yes. And we call it Grandparent or Friends Day because some grandparents don't live close enough to come or just can't make the trip. And for our little ones, to have somebody just to show off their school to, it makes all the difference for them. Yeah. So it's really big in the lower school, and they usually have a little treat to give their grandparent or their friend, and they get to show them around and meet their teacher, and so it's a really fun day for us.
I know last week we were at an event in Hitesh and Dimple Patel, which are chairing our Torchbearer Fund this year, and they were talking to a group of parents about Grandparents Special Friends Day, and they said, you know, our kids' grandparents for a while couldn't always come, and so they said we would look for a special friend to invite to come and let our kids still have that with somebody that, you know, they know, so somebody from the community that the kids know, hey, you know, go to their school and see what they're doing. And then the kid loved being able to show that off. And so it was cool hearing Hitesh and Dimple talk about that with Anjali and what she was able to show off. And so I know a lot of families are in that boat. You know, the world we live in today is a lot bigger than what we, you know, grew up in. And so a lot of times grandparents aren't anywhere near. And so they can't always step in. So the ability for a neighbor or a family friend, an uncle or an aunt or somebody that interacts with those kids to be able to come that day and experience life on the CBA campus. I love walking around that day and seeing kids with their grandparents, and, you know, over in the garden, showing them something in the garden, or you know, sometimes it's sitting on one of the benches outside, you know, having a little rest break. We do have a little bit of a big campus to walk around. And so, you know, listening to the conversations that take place in that, it's so sweet.
It is. It is
a lot of fun. And some of our grandparents, you know, ham it up then too, and I think really make that day fun for those kids to come in and really give their full attention for a couple hours for their kids. It's pretty awesome.
It is.
And so hopefully if you're listening and that's not on your calendar, you'll put that on your calendar to make sure that you try to make that day special for the student. And Kim, so when you're looking at some of the things that you help run as the counselor, you do so many different things when it comes to counseling. What are some of those things that you're looking forward to? It may not even be an event. It may just be something that you do with kids every year, be it always with the kindergarten or always with fifth grade or whatever. What are some of those things that you look forward to this school year?
Right. Like Ms. Lyford was sharing, so I get an opportunity to meet with all the new students. So last week, I met with all the new to CBA students in that grade level, and it was really neat. They are, like you said, that excitement they bring. It's just a fun opportunity, though, for them to realize, you know, I'm not the only person, you know, that's new here, and we find some commonalities. They talk about, we play games, like a little bingo game, and some of them had good questions, and I was like, you know, they stumped me on some of them. I'll find out. So I had to talk to Ms. Hutchison, and but it's just a good opportunity, I think, you know, for us to connect. So I do that first week of school, and then, like Ms. Lyford was saying, I have read, I think, to almost all the classes, and I focused on the life skill of caring too, and I shared with them, like we're always saying, you know, there's 19 life skills and 5 lifelong guidelines, but we're all works in progress, aren't we, right? There's no one person on every single day that's exhibiting all those, so you know, just encouraging them. And I said, I reminded them, I think caring is a great one to start with, right? It's kind of like we do it alphabetically, but that one really has to be in place for all the others, right? And so we shared some books like Have You Filled a Bucket Today? And they love that one. And it's a great way just to think about it's a choice. Using that life skill of caring is a choice. And preschoolers understand that. Fifth graders understand that. And not only does it help the other person, but it also makes me feel better too. And that's a, you know, a physiological thing, right? When we help someone else, our body creates that endorphin. So it really is a great way to start, I think. And I remind them of a lot of the things I do here. You know, I get to come read to your class. I sometimes meet with a group if there's maybe we need to talk through some friendship things, yeah, or we need to have some strategies in place. Maybe we have those big feelings of sadness or mad, being angry. And there's some things we can do. There's some strategies we can put in place. So I remind them of that. And for our new students, I like for them to see, you know, put a face with my name.
Yeah.
I read with a couple of preschoolers this morning, and it's funny that they already, so they've gotten to meet their related arts teachers once. So they met with them last Wednesday, and I was asking them about it, and I was like, you know, they remembered, and they remembered Coach Thompson, and they said he's really tall. And I'm sure for a preschooler, he's really tall. So it's just making those connections, and for them to know I am another person for support here.
Yeah,
you know, if that's those big feelings, if it's those friendship issues, that I'm here for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you do a great job with that, and I'm on the list to read to kindergarten, but you guys are already way out there, man. Well, every class, I've never even been asked to read past kindergarten. I don't know if they don't feel like that I could do a good job with that. I don't
know.
They're
busy.
That's right. But I think I am scheduled, I think, for a date coming up soon for kindergarten, and then I love going to preschool and reading too. Mm-hmm. That's always fun. I've got two books right now that I keep bouncing back and forth on that the kids seem to enjoy when I'm in there. Yeah. There's no life skill or lifelong guideline. Sense of humor, maybe the only one that I...
That's an important one,
that's
right?
That's an important one, but yes. Sometimes it's a little chaotic because the two books that I read are a lot of sense of humor. Mm. I don't know if that says something about me as well, but that's the book I'm choosing to read with them. But it's a lot of fun, and I love going in there and just seeing those interactions and hearing the kids and that way. You also do a lunch bunch throughout the year.
Yes.
And I don't know what the strategy is that you use on that, but I know that many kids that are a part of it love, they know when their lunch bunch time is.
Yes. It's just a great opportunity. That way it's you know, not interfering with any other part of the day, but it's a great opportunity. Sometimes I'll do like all the boys in a classroom, or all the boys. Sometimes we do the whole class, or sometimes it's a smaller group. But it's just an opportunity for us to focus on some of those social emotional things that because we know that children are whole beings.
Absolutely.
It's not just the academic, behavioral, it's social emotional. It's their whole beings, and what an opportunity for us here. You know, that's a part of who we are. We understand that, and we support the children, the whole being.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important.
And it's one of those that in today's world, it's more and more we see that taking precedent over other things. And, you know, as you go to educational conferences, as you read, you know, educational magazines and that sort of thing, the content is always going to be the content. You know, we're never going to say content's not important, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's important for us to learn to read and learn to do math, learn to write. You know, those things are always going to be, especially in the lower school level, those are, you know, staples. They're not going anywhere. But the thing that we're seeing more and more of is that social and emotional learning, that lifelong guideline, life skill piece. And and I love seeing education recognize that more and more, because I feel like for a long time it was just content, you know, and that was all that was really important. And as long as you weren't getting in trouble, you know, you weren't fighting somebody or whatever, then, you know, it was just about what you're learning and content. And we're seeing more and more of that come about, that it's more about social emotional learning, that we've got to learn how to interact in the world that we live in. And when you throw in, you mentioned screens there for a second, when you throw in the screen time and the access that kids have now as opposed to in previous generations, it's incredible. You know, kids really do, even at a young elementary level, have access to the whole internet. You know, they have access to, and if you have access to the internet, then you have access to a lot of information, good or bad. There's a lot of information you have access to, and as the brain is trying to adapt to that, I think that's part of what we're seeing in that mm-hmm. social and emotional learning side is mm-hmm. is this evolution taking place in the human brain of how do we interact with mm-hmm. that much knowledge, that much connectedness, recognizing that our world is hyper-connected. Mm-hmm. And so I think you do a lot of work there of helping kids learn how to treat people. You know, we do that on Wednesday mornings if we say treat people right and do the right thing, but that doesn't just happen if I'm looking in your face. That's treating people right and doing the right thing if they're on the internet, if they're, you know, in some other mm-hmm. capacity. And so teaching those life skills, lifelong guidelines become a huge importance to what they're learning in mm-hmm. elementary as well as all you know up through upper school mm-hmm. too. And so I know the interaction that you have with kids, they love that and you see them sometimes at their worst day, right? Yes. So yes. That's tough. You know, you might be called into support because a kid is having that meltdown or whatever mm-hmm. and you're trying to coax them out from under a table or depending on the level of the kid, you know, what they might be going through in that moment. And right. so you do a great job, I think, in bringing them back to a calm and bringing them back to a place where they can then start to process, as you were saying, those big feelings. Every time I hear that, I think of you because I think you were the first person to ever use that in a conversation with me on this kind of idea of when we have those big feelings. And it's like, even as an adult, there's still times that I have these big feelings, yeah. right, that I'm trying to deal with and trying to process. And so you do a great job in helping our teachers as well as our students mm-hmm. in what are strategies to put in place to help kids because, let's be honest, they're kids. They're real people. They are that whole being. And so they're going to have that's good right. days. They're going to have mm-hmm. bad days. You know, they're going to exactly. have days that everybody in the house woke up late and we were yelling to get in the car and, you know, breakfast was whatever was in a wrapper that we could throw back there, you know.
That's right.
And sometimes then as a parent, when you drop your kid off, you know, you're back to your day, but the kid has had a wild morning and yes, now they're walking yes. into a class where somebody's asking them to read and write and, yes. you know, sometimes do challenging mm-hmm. stuff and their brain is, poor thing, just not there in the moment.
Right. Yes.
And so teaching our staff as well as our students how to handle that and process that, mm-hmm. I think you do an excellent job with that.
She does.
Mary, is there anything else that we haven't talked about? I know you always come with a lot of talking points that whenever we interview. Is there anything that you would like to add to the conversation this morning?
Oh, I could just keep going, couldn't I? Well, I'm excited. I was talking to some of the teachers about their theme boards
yeah.
and their concepts. And so a lot of the teachers are reimagining them. And sometimes when you hire new faculty, they come in and they inherit that
right.
theme board or the concept for the year, and they don't connect with it. And so I always tell them, just live it and then tweak it. And so I feel like we're at a place now where the teachers are really tweaking that and really making a connection to the concept and why we teach the way we do here.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to see, they're excited about creating it. And so you may go in a room where their theme board is in the work in progress.
Yeah.
And then I know Ms. Barham shared at PD on Wednesday, the third grade had redone theirs, and they were both new to us last year, but came with a lot of experience.
Yep.
And so I was so impressed with what they had created. So that's a change that I was thinking about that's going to be really exciting to see this year. One plug I wanted to put in before we did end was about our curriculum night.
Yeah.
So we do have curriculum night coming up August the 6th. That's on a Tuesday. Most of the events on the lower school campus happen on Tuesday night. So just to kind of know that out there as a lower school parent, from 6 o'clock to 7:30, you'll have an opportunity to go straight to the cottages and just be in the classroom for about 45 minutes. I've told the teachers, please start on time because I just think that's important. Your time is important. And so they're going to share a little bit about what it's like in their classroom. And then at about 6:45-ish, we're all going to go into the family center this time. We've tried to tweak this different ways each year with the related arts teachers because mm-hmm. we share those faculty members
yeah.
and they do a lot. And getting to all their locations is difficult. So we're going to meet in the family center. And they're all going to share a little bit about themselves in there. And I told them they want to bring some slides about what their classroom looks like. So you can kind of hear from our new Spanish teacher, PE teacher, music teacher. And so, and then the ones that are already have been with us. So that's on August the 6th. And so I just wanted to kind of let parents know about that as that comes out. So
absolutely. And it's a great day to see all the things in the classroom and to see some of these new themes. I love walking around and seeing a grade level, you know, kind of struggling through that process of like, what kind of theme do we want that represents the standards that we're mastering, that represents the activities that you really build everything from for that school year. And so watching new teachers, you know, start to own that and say, this didn't work for me, or I've got this actually another idea that would do better here for this field study than the one that we've done in the past. I love seeing that. And so I'm going to have to get down there to Angie and Helen's room and see what they've created. That's last year we did a big change over in first and second grade to some of the game of life, or the was it just the game of life or was it just board games?
That was their year-long theme, and then they had games for each quarter.
Okay.
So four different games.
And so the way that they incorporate that into what the kids were learning, and the teachers then, like you said, owning that and that excitement that that brings. I know as a teacher, I don't know that I ever taught the same thing from one year to the next. That would be too boring for me.
It would be for me too.
It would be.
Yes.
So I was always tweaking and looking at what new, you know, in science, what new lab could I do that would still get this point across, or what didn't work about that one that I need to throw out, and what did work, and so seeing those teachers, you know, kind of try to start from scratch at times and say what would make sense, and of course they do a lot of work with Linda Jordan that comes in to work with them on some of that, but. That's exciting. And then when you bring in a new teacher, sometimes that helps to bring that kind of fresh ideas and new way of thinking about something, because we all kind of get in that, well, we've done it like this. You know, we've always gone here, or we've done, you know, we've done that. And so that new fresh blood kind of to generate some new ideas, it's always fun to see that interaction taking place. And so this year I'm excited to see that.
I am too.
You know, we talked about 90 new kids. It does make sense that about, you know, probably about 80 of them are yours, because you've got the preschool and then kindergarten,
lots
which is a lot of new you know, kids. And by the time they're leaving you in fifth grade, you've filled the grade level. You know, you've done a great job, and you know, kids are there. And so when we hit middle school, you know, there was only a handful of spots for middle school, and we only accept ninth and tenth graders, and there wasn't even that many, you know, openings there even. So it's getting fuller. Is that I don't know if that's the right way to say that, fuller, but it's definitely exciting watching those new families and new kids come in. So well, thank you both for setting down and talking about this school year and the excitement that you guys have for it, and I know that translates over into the staff and the students, and so we're excited to see what this school year has. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can find us on our website, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.